You know what they say about too many cooks in the kitchen? Well, EU leaders are running into that kind of problem as they try to negotiate details of a Russian oil embargo. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. EU leaders are in Brussels today for a summit that's expected to be dominated by the bloc's failure to so far secure or agree a ban on Russian oil supplies. Hungary, which is heavily dependent on those supplies, has been the most outspoken critic of a ban. After weeks of negotiation, Latvia's foreign minister told the BBC today he's still confident member states will find a resolution to the stalemate.
We have had dramas before. We have had countries before saying that they are not agreeing on anything, starting from EU budget, ending with sanctions. But I very much hope that Hungary also will understand the gravity of the situation and will agree on what likely appears to be a kind of compromise deal.
That compromise deal could include first stopping oil deliveries by ship and then later dealing with pipeline deliveries like those supplying Hungary. Still, progress is slow, and a meeting of EU ambassadors on Sunday failed to agree a plan. They'll try again today. The BBC's Jessica Parker elaborates on the difficulties in reaching a compromise among 27 member nations.
The European Commission's proposals for a complete ban on Russian oil imports by the end of this year have been bogged down for the best part of a month. Hungary likened the measure to dropping a nuclear bomb on its economy. Like some other member states, it's particularly reliant on the Druzhba oil pipeline. Various compromises have been discussed. The latest is to target seaborne supplies first and leave pipeline oil until later. Technical talks resume this morning, but some diplomats are doubtful there'll be a breakthrough in time for the leaders' summit, which starts this afternoon. The impasse paves the way for potentially heated exchanges later, with more hardline member states, such as Poland, likely to voice frustration at the delay in approving the bloc's sixth package of sanctions against Russia.
That's the BBC's Jessica Parker reporting from Brussels there. Checking the numbers now, U.S. stocks are closed for Memorial Day today, but global shares are getting a bump from new stimulus measures announced in China today. Here in Europe, benchmarks in London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Madrid are up in the 0.4% to 0.7% range. Bigger gains across Asia, the Nikkei and Hang Seng both closed up more than 2%, while the Shanghai Composite gained 0.6%. That's after officials in Shanghai said many COVID-19 lockdown measures in the city will begin easing starting on Wednesday. Chinese officials also announced new measures to help boost the economy stricken by COVID measures. All eyes are on election results in the South American nation of Colombia today. Leftist former rebel Gustavo Petro has come out on top in the first round of presidential elections. If he wins the final round in 3 weeks, he'll become the first left-wing president in the country's history, as the BBC's Katie Watson reports.
Gustavo Petro was the front-runner all along, a leftist former mayor and self-labeled revolutionary who promised huge economic and social changes, improving the inequality and fixing the violence in the country. Polls had put conservative candidate Fico Gutierrez behind Petro, but that wasn't to be. Instead, Rodolfo Hernandez will go head-to-head with Petro next month, a populist businessman turned politician dubbed Colombia's Trump. He's a savvy social media user who managed to reach young voters.
That's the BBC's Katie Watson there. To South Africa now, a country with some of the highest levels of youth unemployment in the world. It's been described as a ticking time bomb problem that the government is now trying to defuse. The BBC's Shinya Nyoka has more from Johannesburg.
Soweto is a microcosm of South Africa's townships. Bustling street trading, lots of little businesses, and a startling rate of joblessness. In an unkempt open space, two men are milling around as their friends fix cars. Young journalist Henry Ngoveni has been unemployed since 2017.
How many jobs have you tried to apply for?
Yeah, more than 120-something jobs, but no answer.
How frustrated are you?
Yeah, I am very frustrated because the government is, they are not releasing so much internships.
His friend Hope Chirwa is a carpenter, and he says young people have been left behind.
The leaderships, they just create a channel which channels the water to their home instead of to make everyone drink.
Since the fall of apartheid, access to health care, education and amenities have improved for the majority. But unemployment remains high at 65% for the 15 to 24 year age group. The government is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to tackle joblessness, but some say it's not enough and the frustration is palpable. That's the sound of a march by a rising vigilante group walking through the streets of Johannesburg. They're called Operation Dudula, which means push out in the local language. They want to drive out illegal foreigners.
Shops have been hijacked. Employment has been hijacked.
Authorities are now proposing tough new laws to tighten foreign worker quotas and, more controversially, to ban foreigners from owning small businesses in certain sectors. For so many young people on society's fringes, the future is uncertain, but some remain determined to keep battling the odds to bridge South Africa's gaping economic divide. In Johannesburg, I'm the BBC's Shingai Nyoka for Marketplace.
And finally, we know in Ukraine there's been an all-hands-on-deck attitude as the country defends itself against Russia's invasion. Now even band members who represented their country and won this year's Eurovision Song Contest are doing what they can. They've sold their crystal microphone trophy at auction for $900,000, and it's enough to buy 3 drones for the country's military. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.